Thank God I am free. I am.
This is I'm Not the Woman I Used to Be. I'm Free with Minister Diane Jones. Ladies, this is the show that's here to give you stories of hope and healing from someone who has been there, someone who has fought back from the horrors of incest. Minister Diane's innocence was stolen from her in the land of alcoholism and mental illness, which led to her being emotionally, physically, and sexually abused by her parents. Yet in spite of the trauma of her early years, she went on to become a successful wife, mother, registered nurse, and minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Plus, she's a virtuous woman who can help you find that woman in your life. Don't let the weight of this world or things that happen to you control your life. This is I'm Not the Woman I Used to Be. I'm Free on TogiNet. And now, here is your host, Minister Diane Jones.
Hey, people. Hello, hello there. I hope and pray that you all are well. I hope that you're tuning in so that you can get a dose of hope and encouragement. Understanding things from a biblical perspective does offer us hope. To me, it does encourage me. When I see things through God's eyes, it makes things make more sense to me. It simplifies life to me. So that's the perspective that I'm going to come from when I cover tonight's topic. Before going there, I just want to say I'm glad to be back on the air. This is a day that the Lord has made. I am rejoicing in it. I just happened to be off today from my secular job, and my schedule was full and tight, but in spite of that, I had songs of praise in my spirit all day. That is the overflow because on Saturday, the Lord dropped an assignment in my spirit. Saturday morning, I was having my breakfast and trying to decide exactly what things I was going to tackle for Saturday because I have so many things I need to do and wasn't exactly sure which way I should go. And the Lord just dropped in my spirit that I needed to go and visit one of the fellowships that I have told you all about, CFM, Christ Forgiveness Ministries, in the DMV area. I have not been in there in a while. I have not been led to go in a while. I've been involved in other assignments, and the Lord just put it in my spirit that I needed the point to go, just out of nowhere. So I said, okay, I guess that's how my day is going to be going later on. Leading up to that, I had also forgotten that the base where my husband used to coach, the team is not the same team, but one of the coaches that was working with my husband has kept in touch with me to let me know what's going on there. And he reminded me that there was a game that Saturday. And with all of the demands on my schedule and the commitments, I don't get much recreation in. So I told myself, I'm going to go and enjoy the game. I'm just going to go. I'm not going to worry about going to the gym or the sauna. I'm just going to go and enjoy the game, run some errands, and then go to CFM. And that's what I did. And while I was doing all of that, I pulled out some old CDs that me and my family used to really enjoy. My kids, when they were home, used to really enjoy. And I just was on the road praising the Lord, on the verge of tears at some times because the words and the lyrics were just touching my heart. This artist, I don't know if he's the same now because I don't listen to him now, but many, many years ago in the 90s, 98, 99, early 2000s, we used to really listen to Fred Hammond, and I was just reminded of how much of a beautiful lyricist. He was very good at lyrics, and they're biblically based. And it just caused me to, I enjoyed some of the rhythm too, but being an older, old-fashioned, old-school saint, I don't know how to express that. I guard myself a little bit with that, some of that rhythm, because it reminds me too much of dancing when I used to dance in the club. But I did try to focus on the lyrics, which is easier for me to do because I'm seasoned, and that's what really ministered to me and caused me to just begin to sing those songs. And so they're still in my heart, they're still in my spirit, and believe it or not, praise and worship does also encourage us. It also does lift our spirits. So that's where I'm at today. Tonight, I should say, where I'm at, it's already 7 p.m. on the East Coast. And with that being said, I want to let you know that tonight's topic I'm calling Things, how did I put this here? Things that affect society in a negative way. That's the way I'm calling this. Things that basically erode our societies. Okay? I had planned on trying to cover two topics tonight. One is an update from my last live. But as I began to pull it together and pull articles together to go with my thoughts, I'm not sure if I'm going to get through both of these topics tonight. So if I do not, I will just do the second topic on my next live. And I'm already going to be ahead of the game because I've prepared for it, okay? All right. So if you have not joined me, you need to make sure that on the break, which is coming up pretty soon, you have your favorite beverage. I just downed some apple cider. I didn't do any hot tea like I usually do. I am sipping on some wonton soup because that was what was left of my dinner. And I want y'all to be prepared when you come back from the break, okay? So I can squeeze a little bit of this opening subject in before the break. Last live, which was back in February, I talked about the synagogues of Satan. And I took that topic and I relayed that topic to the current event that was going on regarding the case in Fulton County, Georgia, where the district attorney, Fannie Willis, and the lead prosecutor, last name Wade, I don't know why I have trouble remembering his whole name, but for some reason I always just refer to him as Wade. And I didn't want to cover that from the basic commentary that, you know, like I've been hearing in terms of the legal details and the testimony and what a. I wanted to cover it, the Lord, I should say, actually inspired me to cover it in terms of the churches. The churches that align themselves with this district attorney in spite of her inappropriate and ungodly, unrighteous behavior. That's why I called it the synagogues of Satan, because no true church of God's ministers or leaders are going to align themselves with something so scandalous. But that's what these churches did. So the update since then, and before I talk about the update, to my surprise, and I shouldn't have been surprised, I actually got a notice of a violation from Twitter, now known as X, stating that my post regarding this podcast, I put the title Synagogues of Satan, and I talked from the scripture of Revelations of what that description met, and they didn't, I don't think they thoroughly checked it out, but they said it was a violation of their community standards. I thought, wow, okay, I must have really hit home here, because I read through their standards and they classified it as possibly hate speech, you know, and what's the other word? Discriminating against religion. Here the break is. I'll be back.
Has a tragic past shattered your future or your now? Don't let it. This is I'm Not the Woman I Used to Be. I'm Free with Minister Diane Jones. And we'll be right back after these.
Equipping the Saints Ministries. Our mission is to equip and mature the people God calls to do the things they are called to do with confidence and boldness, to create soldiers for the army of the Lord, and to impact our communities. We are home-based in Waldorf, Maryland. If you would like more information, you may email us at etsministriesinc@gmail.com or write to us at ETS Post Office Box 72, Waldorf, Maryland 20602. If you are not local, you may participate via conference calls, and we can make information available to you by email. ETS. The Story of Me is a captivating and inspiring account of a woman able to overcome incest, physical abuse, abandonment, and neglect to find a second chance at happiness. It is a story for those who have been rejected, who have dreamt and fallen short, who have survived traumas such as molestation, rape, or incest. The Story of Me is very inspirational for those who may find themselves in Jones's story. You may purchase your copy of The Story of Me online at authorhouse.com, this show's host page, amazon.com, or any of the major bookstores. The Story of Me.
Thank God I am free. I am free.
Welcome back to I'm Not the Woman I Used to Be. I'm Free. On TogiNet.com, the show dedicated to helping women find their way back to themselves after innocence was stolen by incest and abuse. Helping you heal. It's what we're all about. It's I'm Not the Woman I Used to Be. I'm Free. On TogiNet. And now, back to your host, Minister Diane Jones.
All right, people, I'm back. I hope you have your favorite beverage, whether it is hot or cold. I am talking to you about the ding, the punishment, I guess is that's the appropriate word, that I got for posting about this live that I did back in February. In my description, I referenced synagogues of Satan, and I quoted from the scripture that described what that meant. And they took that as a violation and said they didn't specify exactly which one, but the categories that they gave me were basically hate speech, discrimination against religion, you know, sex, so forth and so on, you know, the standard categories that are protected. And I looked at it and I thought, okay, someone obviously didn't take the time to really read what I was saying, because I was not discriminating against anybody else's religion. I was actually defending the religion of Christianity and pointing out the fact that Christianity is based on righteousness, and righteous churches are not going to agree with or join in with anything that is scandalous and contrary to the Word of God. That was the point that I was making. But because of my crazy schedule, I didn't have time to fight it, and I just said, okay. They didn't take it completely down. They told me that it was just going to be limited and who could view it. So there it is. I obviously hit the mark on that one, okay? If you don't get any pushback, what I used to call backlash, then you're probably not being that effective in your walk. So tonight, what I want to do is catch up, update my thoughts about the latest in that court situation related to the synagogues of Satan. On March 15th, the judge involved in the overall proceedings, there was an original lawsuit filed against former President Trump and multiple other co-defendants. And in those original proceedings, some issues came up that caused a hearing to take place to decide whether or not that district attorney should be disqualified and her lead prosecutor, Wade, because of a conflict of interest and the appearance of improprieties. So that hearing went on for a couple of days, and then the judge finally ruled on that hearing on March 15th. And I found it interesting, because I like to approach these things from a biblical perspective, that even secular analysts and news reporters were referring to the judge as Solomic. In other words, comparing him to King Solomon in the Bible. They were saying that his ruling, in their opinions, was Solomic. It was like he tried to, in the story of Solomon, when he decided turned out to be famous case, where there was a dispute between two prostitutes about a surviving child, King Solomon commanded them to cut the baby in half, to split the baby, to cut the baby in half. And in doing so, that actually revealed the true mother, because the true mother decided, no, please don't kill the baby. Let her have the baby before you do that. And that revealed to Solomon who the true mother was. So in this situation, commentators, analysts, reporters were referring to the judge as being Solomic, because what he did was he split his own opinion, okay? He split his own opinion. And I'll read some of these different articles to you. He concluded two opposing things. One, that there was no actual conflict of interest, but there was sufficient evidence to support improprieties. Improprieties that he detailed very harshly and very clearly. So he split his own opinion. And in my opinion, he did not behave like Solomon did, though, because even though he split his own opinion, he didn't get to the bottom and to the root of the issue. With King Solomon, he flushed out the truth. He flushed out the truth, and that's why people were just so marveled at what he did, because it sounded like something crazy. It sounded like the way he went about it was like, what, you're going to kill the baby? But in doing that, it caused the real mother to stand up for her baby and say, no, give it to the other woman. And therefore, King Solomon resolved the issue because he said, no, this is the true mother. She's going to keep her child. Do you see what I'm saying? That resolved the issue. It flushed out the truth. It squashed the issue. It got to the bottom of it. So that is what was marvelous about what King Solomon did. What this judge did was contradicted himself, and he left the appearance of impropriety clearly stated in his opinion, and basically punted that responsibility to other sources to handle the impropriety part of all of this. He was more like Pontius Pilate, who said he was washing his hands of the situation, though he had the power to put an end to the situation. Pontius Pilate didn't want it to appear that he was the one being responsible for putting Jesus to death, so he said he was washing his hands. But he also had within his power to prevent that from happening, but he didn't want that responsibility either because he didn't want the Jews to be mad at him. You see the difference? You see the difference in what the judge in this case, whose name was, sometimes they refer to him by his first name. Let's see, the Georgia judge. Let me see if I can find his actual name. I know I have it. McAfee is the last name, okay? This judge, in my opinion, punted. He didn't want to make Fannie and all the judicial system people there in Fulton, or the people that are supporting Fannie, I should say Fannie is her correct name, he didn't want them all to be upset with him. He's running for judge again. He didn't want them all to be upset with him. So he found a way, in my opinion, to clearly say that her actions were inappropriate, legally as well as professionally, so forth and so on, but he didn't want that responsibility. So he said she could choose. Here we go. She can choose to fire herself and all of her staff from this case because of the appearance of impropriety, or she could fire her legal representative that she hired. It was her judgment to hire this person and then to also be involved with this person, contrary to her own standards of professional conduct. It was her judgment to do it, but he left it up to her to decide which one of those would be best, fire herself and all of her staff, or let her lead prosecutor go. So I, as a minister of the gospel, want to point out to you that this judge did not behave like Solomon, because he still left the issue unresolved. He still avoided the truth. He still wouldn't address the situation and fix it so that it dealt with the core of the problem. He didn't want to do that. And that is what I call, and what I would say Scripture calls, an unrighteous judge. As believers, I think it's important for us to see things through that lens and not just through the culture's legalese or even the court's precedent, or in this case, Georgia law. If Georgia law does not align with biblical law, then it's important for us to recognize that. We might have to live with it, we might have to deal with it, but we should still recognize it and call it what it is, unjust, unrighteous, okay? Let me see here. Solomon solved dispute, got to the bottom of the issues, he got to the truth. This judge did not do that. I want to read to you what the Bible says. A judge, when God first told Moses, through Moses' father-in-law, if I'm not mistaken, it was Moses' father-in-law that, oops, I wasn't even paying attention. After the break, I'll be back.
Has a tragic past shattered your future or your now? Don't let it. This is I'm Not the Woman I Used to Be. I'm Free with Minister Diane Jones. And we'll be right back after these.
A black nurse. This narrative is about the struggles of being a black woman and a black professional in a society bound with racial and gender bias. She has hopes, dreams, needs, a purpose, and aspirations, but faces constant opposition to fulfilling these basic human requirements. Like so many people of color before her, she achieves some measure of success, but her success is minor compared to what she must do to achieve it. It's time for a change. Get your copy today from AuthorHouse.com, this show's host page, or any major book retailer like Amazon.com. A black nurse.
Thank God I am free. I am free.
Welcome back to I'm Not the Woman I Used to Be. I'm Free on TogiNet.com, the show dedicated to helping women find their way back to themselves after innocence was stolen by incest and abuse. Helping you heal. It's what we're all about. It's I'm Not the Woman I Used to Be. I'm Free on TogiNet. And now, back to your host, Minister Diane Jones.
All right, I'm back, and I am talking about things that affect our society negatively, that basically erode the culture of our society. And unrighteous judges having unrighteous rulings and unrighteous decisions will certainly affect our society at large, as a whole. Okay? That's how I'm tying this together. The Lord appointed judges to begin with. That was something that came from biblical stories, history, etc. It was Moses' father-in-law that advised him to appoint judges because Moses was serving not only as the leader of the children of Israel, but he was having to decide cases. He was having to decide issues amongst the people, and it was a lot for him. It was too much for him. So his father-in-law told him, look, you're going to kill yourself, basically. You need to appoint judges that can help you make these decisions. Now, before I go into the description here that was given in the book of Deuteronomy, I want to backtrack and comment on the fact that this judge, McAfee, decided to punt, and he said for Fannie Willis to make the decision to fire herself and her staff or get rid of her lead prosecutor because of the appearance of impropriety and because of the potential for public disenfranchisement. Basically, he was saying that the public You know, they need to preserve the integrity of the justice system, and the public won't have faith in the justice system if we don't address this issue. Okay? So my question immediately became, if you do not rule that there was any actual conflict of interest, why would anybody have to be fired? Why would the appearance of impropriety, how is that substantiated? How does he go on to substantiate the appearance of impropriety if there's no actual conflict of interest, there's no harm to the defendants, there's no harm to their case? Why would anybody have to be fired? And you understand why I emphasize that too, if I ever get to read some of these articles, because one of the articles in particular says that his task was to decide both if there was actual conflict of interest that would cause harm to the defendant's case and if there was any appearance of impropriety. He goes on in his own opinion and in his own decision to detail all of the impropriety, both legal, professional, etc. But then he backtracks. He fakes out and says, I'm not going to disqualify because there's no actual conflict of interest, but there was impropriety. Do you see what I'm saying? That's not a righteous judge. Even according to Georgia law, if his job was to decide both of those factors, then he still should have ruled to disqualify. But he just didn't want to do it. He wanted one of these other sources to look into it. So let me see how far I can get with this. Back to the judges. In Deuteronomy chapter 16, 18 through 22, this is King James Version, the King James Version. It says, judges and officers shalt thou make thee in all thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So the office of a judge is something that is appointed from a biblical perspective. It's supposed to be anyway. Our culture has changed. Our culture has rejected many of the principles that our judicial system was even founded upon. We have judges in places and in positions that are not righteous, that don't judge righteously. They judge strictly based on previous cases and how those cases came out and what the local laws of the land may be, even though those laws may have veered from biblical standards. That's where we're at in society now, which is why we have so many of the problems that we have. If we as a society would stick to how God said things were supposed to be done, this is what was supposed to have been done. And they shall judge the people with just judgment. Just judgment. Okay? Thou shalt not wrest judgment. It says W-R-E-S-T, wrest judgment. Thou shalt not respect persons. In other words, you're not supposed to, you know, be lighter on someone or heavier on someone else because of who they are or who their father is or who their mother is or how much money they have or any of that garbage, okay? Thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift, which would be the same as accepting a bribe, okay? For a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. Okay, that which is altogether just shalt thou follow. That which is altogether just shalt thou follow, that thou mayest live and inherit the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. That's the gist of those verses. It goes on to talk about planting a grove of trees near the altar of the Lord. But the heart of what I'm saying is this. a judge is supposed to judge righteously, according to what is just, according to what is right, according to, you know, what is righteous. They're not supposed to. This judge purposely split his decision and only addressed one half in terms of doing what was right. He only addressed one half of what he was supposed to address. And I don't think that he even did that properly. I listened to the attorney that spelled out what the rules about conflict of interest were, and they also included the appearance of impropriety. But for some reason, this judge split the two issues, left the impropriety up to others to deal with, and I just do not see where a righteous judge would have done that, regardless of who the parties are involved. I'm just looking at the biblical perspective on this, okay? This judge all but says that they all are guilty of impropriety. He basically spells that out, even though he doesn't flat out just say you're all guilty of impropriety. He spells that out in his opinion because he gave her the choice of firing herself and all of her staff. There's no need to do that if you're not concerned about impropriety, which he goes on to explain that he was concerned about impropriety. So this troubles me, and it tells me, people, that we cannot trust these secular judges, that if we have to go to court, if we have to go to battle, which I've had to do in the past for some years now, I've talked to you guys about some of the cases that I'm involved in. And even when I was doing it, I was praying the whole time, Lord, you're going to have to give me favor because I know that I can't trust these judges. We can't trust them to rule righteously. The judge said he was concerned about preserving the judicial system. This only added to me, any reasonable person, even if you're not saved, even if you're not a Christian, any reasonable person should be able to see that this was not just, that it was not right, okay? And that does reduce people's trust in the legal system. So I say he contradicts himself, okay? He contradicts himself, and then what did I put here? Saying not to disqualify Fani leaves the true issue unresolved. He gave himself a way out. He wants others to put the nail in the coffin instead of him. Solomon didn't do that. Solomon hit the situation head on, and he resolved it. Got to the bottom of it, okay? In addition to that, and I should say, too, that his decision continued to cause a public outcry anyway, because I've listened to commentators on both sides of this, on what some people call the left and some people call the right. For some reason, we have those divisions in our land. I've listened to commentators on both sides, and to my surprise, even the ones on the left, which are the far unrighteous, that's what I would prefer to call them, the far unrighteous. People say they're liberal. No, they're unrighteous. Even the ones on the left, some of what I'm going to read to you are articles that they wrote about this, where I was actually surprised that they pointed out the issues in this decision. I was surprised because normally they'll stand behind it regardless. They'll stand behind it as wrong as it is, they'll stand behind it. But in this case, that's not what they did. So in addition to that, though, a few days before this decision, the judge also apparently addressed some other matters that were before him, and he dismissed six counts of the original claim against these defendants. he himself dismissed and rejected six of the counts that were a part of this proceeding. To me, saying that they, from what I gathered, he said they lack the basic specificity, I'm having a hard time saying that word, basically the specifics that they were supposed to contain so that the defendants would even know how to defend themselves, what you were actually saying, what you're actually charging them with, which to me also confirms that the prosecutor that Fani chose was not experienced enough to know how to even lay this out. He wasn't experienced enough in that. More after the break.
Has a tragic past shattered your future or your now? Don't let it. This is I'm Not the Woman I Used to Be. I'm Free with Minister Diane Jones. And we'll be right back after these.
Millions of people are sexually abused each and every day, not just by rape, child molesters, or pedophiles, but by choice and through lifestyle preferences. Who would enjoy being raped again and again? Why is rape spiritual as well as physical? Can a sex offender be healed from abusing others? Find answers to these and other questions in the pages of Overcoming Sexual Abuse by Minister Diane Jones. Available online at authorhouse.com, this show's host page, amazon.com, and any major bookstore. Overcoming Sexual Abuse.
I'm not the woman I used to be. I'm free on TogiNet.com, the show dedicated to helping women find their way back to themselves after innocence was stolen by incest and abuse. Helping you heal. It's what we're all about. It's I'm not the woman I used to be. I'm free on TogiNet. And now, back to your host, Minister Diane Jones.
Hey, we are back, and I am talking about how things affect our society negatively. And one of the things I'm talking about now is how having unrighteous judges will certainly affect society in a bad way. Because if they uphold wrongdoing or by omission don't deal with wrongdoing, then everybody else is affected by those decisions. And then it sets a standard for other cases to follow that same unrighteous judgment. Okay? So the background for this particular topic tonight, though, is the Fani Willis Wade issue that's going on in Fulton County, Georgia. Okay? The judge left this so messy that Willis was already under investigation. There had already been complaints filed against her. But now, the way he worded his 23-page decision, he clearly made it evident that he even thinks that someone else should take this up and continue to investigate it. What was his job? He punted, like I said, he punted the responsibility to somebody else. So let me turn to some of these articles and see if I can cover more of this in these articles. This one is from USA Today. Oh, let's see. Is that the right one? No, let's go. Let's not do that one first. This one is March 15th. This is March 15th, so that's the first one. This is the date of the actual decision by the judge, March 15th, okay? And don't forget the fact that the unrighteous churches, the synagogues of Satan, attach themselves to all of this mess, which means that they're more like the DA and her office and the prosecutor, who the judge actually says were improper, okay? So this one is from NBC News, and it's titled, Fulton County DA Fannie Willis case against Trump can continue, all right? I've highlighted some areas because it's about 7 pages. I'm not going to cover everything, but it says some of what also I've already told you. Georgia judge ruled that the district attorney, Fannie Willis, should not be disqualified from prosecuting the racketeering case against former President Donald Trump and co-defendants with one major condition, stating the judge, Scott McAfee, found the appearance of impropriety brought about by Willis' romantic relationship with Special Prosecutor Nathan Wade. I couldn't remember that first name for some reason. Maybe that's a military thing. My husband always referred to people by their last name in the military. Okay. With one condition, okay? Either Willis and her office leaving the case or just Wade leaving the case that she appointed. Okay? Let me continue. Of course, Trump and them are going to continue to fight the case. I don't blame them, okay, because the judge fully, totally contradicted himself, in my opinion. The judge found there was no actual conflict brought about by the relationship, a finding that would have required Willis to be disqualified. Says there was not sufficient evidence for that. Or that her financial arrangements had any impact on the case. So no actual conflict occurred, so that must be denied. But then he goes on to say, these findings by no means indicate that the court condones this tremendous lapse in judgment or the unprofessional manner of the district attorney's testimony during the evidentiary hearing. Rather, it is the undersigned's opinion, it's the judge's opinion, that Georgia law does not permit the finding of an actual conflict for simply making bad choices. This is where he punts. This is where he gets out of it. Even repeatedly. So he's saying that someone who was unprofessional, had a serious lapse in judgment, does not qualify to be disqualified, even if it's repeatedly. And it is the trial court's duty to confine itself to the relevant issues. So he's saying that her lapse of judgment and her unprofessional behavior are not relevant. He's saying that's not relevant. Help me make that sense, anybody. You can't. If you try to, I'm just going to say you're like them. You're corrupt like them, okay? Because it doesn't make sense, okay? Then he goes on to say, the judge did, however, also find the prosecution is encumbered. Listen to that, y'all. Encumbered by an appearance of impropriety. Encumbered, to me, that means steeped in. Steeped in, fully covered in, fully engrossed in an appearance of impropriety. This is what the judge is saying. And he says, as the case moves forward, reasonable members of the public could easily be left to wonder whether the financial exchanges, which was the issue, have continued resulting in some form of benefit to the district attorney, He's saying this is what the public is probably going to think. Or even whether the romantic relationship has resumed, as long as Wade remains on the case. Okay, but she's the one who put Wade on the case, and she's the one who caused, you know, the improprieties along with Wade. They were together in that because they both knew that they weren't supposed to be dating, because they hid the fact that they were dating. They lied about that initially under oath and in court documents also. This judge, he did not do righteously here. McAfee also suggested he was skeptical. This is the judge saying that he's skeptical, which means he doesn't believe about Willis and Wade's testimony that they did not start dating until after he was appointed to the case. He goes on to say reasonable questions about whether the district attorney and her hand-selected lead special assistant district attorney, lead prosecutor, testified untruthfully about the timing of the The judge is saying he has questions that they testified untruthfully. This is testimony that they gave under oath as prosecutors, as lawyers. But he sees no reason for that to qualify as a conflict of interest or a reason for them to be disqualified. Do you see what I'm saying? I strongly disagree. Based on biblical principles, morally, spiritually, this is concerning because things like this will definitely affect society. He says, further underpin the finding of an appearance of impropriety and the need to make proportional efforts to cure it. So he was only willing to go as far as giving her the choice to get rid of Wade or herself and her host staff. He punted. What else can I read here? In this one, he goes on to say she further allowed. No, before that, in his ruling, McAfee questioned Willis's judgment, and then he goes on to say she further allowed the regular and loose exchange of money between them without any exact or verifiable measure of reconciliation. According to her job requirements and responsibilities, that was improper, but he's saying that doesn't have no bearing on this defendant's getting a proper trial. That's impossible. If a person has no scruples, if they're going to lie and cheat and hide and undermine the very rules that they're supposed to abide by, there's no way that they're going to treat their efforts to prosecute someone else justly. Come on. This lack of confirmed financial split creates the possibility and appearance that the district attorney benefited, albeit not materially, from a contract whose award lay solely within her purview and policing. He's contradicting himself. He's saying in his own opinion that this financial split actually does appear that she benefited, but then he said this is no reason to disqualify her. Oh, I'm getting upset just reading about it. He goes on to say Wade's patently unpersuasive explanation for the inaccurate interrogatories he submitted in his pending divorce indicates a willingness on his part to wrongly conceal his relationship with the district attorney. In other words, he lied. But the judge is saying that's no reason to disqualify all of them. He had to split it and give them the choice, knowing that she's not going to fire herself and her staff. She's going to cough him up. So he resigned. Do you see what I'm saying about injustice? This is not righteous. This is not according to biblical standards. And we have to pray that if we are ever before judges, that God will give us favor. Because when you see stuff like this, there's no reason to trust. And these men themselves or their judgment. He put himself right in bed with all of them, and as far as I'm concerned. There's more here, but I don't have time. There's a few more things here that I probably could. Oh, last thing I'm going to get in there. He also criticized a speech Willis delivered at Big Bethel AME Church in mid-January. Remember what I was saying about the synagogues of Satan? How the church got in bed with Willis and Wade? The judge addressed that, too, because of her references to racial injustice and other things. Check it out. Check out the article.
Part of I'm Not the Woman I Used to Be. I'm Free with Minister Diane Jones on TogiNet. Ladies, this is your chance to join us for stories of hope and healing from someone who's been there, someone who has fought back from the horrors of incest. Minister Diane's innocence was stolen from her in the land of alcoholism and mental illness, which led to her being emotionally, physically, and sexually abused by her parents. Yet, in spite of the trauma of her early years, she went on to become a successful wife, mother, registered nurse, and minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is a straight-up show to enlighten and to lighten your load. Don't let the weight of this world or things that happen to you control your life. For more information on Diane and her book, go to her show page here on TogiNet and email her directly. Then, get set to join us here again next Monday night for I'm Not the Woman I Used to Be, I'm Free, with Minister Diane Jones. Monday nights at 10, 9 Central on TogiNet.com.